Well, Merry Christmas to you all, and may it truly be a blessed one as we worship the Saviour who came into the world. I'm going to preach just from one verse, from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, where the Apostle Paul says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day that we celebrate the incarnation, you coming into this world, a day that transformed the whole of history, BC before Christ, AD in the year of our Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that all that you came to do was accomplished. And we thank you today that we come to celebrate, to worship you, to praise you. And thank you, Lord, that we know that one day you will come again. Please, would you help us to be ready for that day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'd be very interested indeed to know what gifts you got for Christmas. Now, I'm not talking about today. I'm talking about last year. Come on, think back. It's only 12 months ago. Surely you remember what you had given to you last year. Well, you know, whatever you did receive this Christmas will also fade from your memory. It's a passing thing and will grow old and lose its effectiveness. Good question to ask is, why do we give gifts at Christmas? Because God gave us a gift that is for all time and eternity. That verse that is so famous, John 3 verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him would not perish, but have the gift of eternal life." God gave. God did not use a silvery box or paper green and red. God laid his Christmas gift to me within a manger bed. And giving, you see, at this season is very, very much part of Scripture. Listen to these verses. Isaiah 9 verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given." Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." And Ephesians 2 verse 8, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." And here in our text, the Apostle Paul says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Now, the context of this passage, the Apostle Paul is discussing Christian principles of providing financial assistance to the church in Jerusalem. And if you read the chapter, he speaks about the generosity of giving sacrificially. And then he cannot but think of the greatest sacrificial gift given to us by God. And so he bursts out in an exclamation of praise. It's as if words failed him, contemplating the magnitude of that gift. It's beyond human comprehension. And on a day like this, we need to appreciate this fact. Paul carefully chose this adjective. It's the only time it's used in the New Testament. And it has that idea of inexpressible, unspeakable, or indescribable. And this gift that God gives to us is of such infinite glory that human language just breaks down. The Father's gift of his only Son, is a supreme superlative. And it seems even God could not express himself adequately through the mechanism of human language. And what God could not say by means of language, he said by means of a life. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Or as Charles Wesley put it in his famous hymn, our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly became man. Jesus Christ is God's greatest gift, and in him all other gifts are included. And oh, dear brothers and sisters, may our hearts on this Christmas day just echo those words of the Apostle Paul. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now we need to ask ourselves two questions. And if you're taking notes this morning, the first one is, what is the reason why this gift is indescribable? And I believe there's two reasons. So if you're taking notes, because of who Jesus Christ is. Because of who Jesus Christ is. The second person of the Godhead, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He is the life as well as the light of the world. He is the center of the universe, the foundation of all that exists, and he is the source of all blessedness. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. Colossians 1, 15 to 17. He, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And then he goes on in chapter 2, verse 9, and he says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Yes, it is because of what Jesus Christ is. The second is because of what Jesus Christ did. If you're taking notes, because of what Jesus Christ did. We can never, you see, separate the cradle from the cross. Someone said, without Christmas, Easter is not possible. Without Easter, Christmas is not necessary. You remember the words of John the Baptist as he pointed to Jesus, look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And it is because of his sacrificial and substitutionary death on Calvary that we have forgiveness of our sins, peace with God, and eternal life. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all our sin. And in Romans 5 verse 8 we read, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Luke says in chapter 2, verse 11, a Savior has been born to you. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And again, the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 1:15 says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Well, just think of all the blessings that that brings to us. Cleansing from our sin, reconciliation with God, a new spiritual life within through the Holy Spirit with its peace and pardon, and above all, to know that we have, present tense, the gift of eternal life with him. We're not waiting for eternal life, we have it. And when we die, leave this earth, we go into the presence of the Lord. I'm sure you will agree, it's the gift of gifts. What food is to the starving, what water is to the thirsty, what freedom is to the slave, release to the condemned prisoner, and life to the dying. All that and much, much more is the gift of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of mankind. Not even God a greater gift could give, nor heaven itself a dearer favor impart. When Jesus came and died that I might live, God gave without reserve his very heart. And that's the wonderful news of Christmas, that Jesus is in the forgiveness business, that he was born to die for our sin. The only person born to die. We are born to live, and God gives us that will to live. But Jesus was born to die as a sacrifice for our sin. Secondly, then, if you're taking notes, what is our response to that indescribable gift? A gift, whether human or divine, needs some kind of response. This indescribable gift is a very personal one. In Luke, we read, the angel said, to you, and that's singular in the Greek, to you personally, is born a Savior. So each of us need personally to ask, what is my response? And I believe there's four alternatives open to each one of us. The first is, if you're taking notes, you may ignore the gift. Certainly many have done that. Treat God's gift as if it had never been given. Remember on the night, that first Christmas night, thousands were unaware of what was happening. And even today, there's complete indifference. Yes, there's decorations, there's lights, there's trees, there's songs. But people don't even know what it's about. Sin has blinded the hearts of people. And so the Savior is just ignored, as if he had never come. No wonder the world is in such a mess. No wonder people's lives are in such a mess. Yes, you may ignore the gift. Or, if you're taking notes, you may decline the gift. I had an aunt. You aunt. Is that right? Yeah, where I come from, it's an aunt. And you say an aunt. Well, okay. I had an aunt or an aunt who, when given a gift, and this is true, gift that she did not actually want, she would politely say to us, thank you for the thought behind it, but it really is not what I want. And she gave it back. Well, yeah, people decline the gift of God, don't they? And you see, God's gift is not forced on anyone, or it would cease to be a gift in the true sense of the word. John 1:11 says, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And still today, many decline that free offer of salvation because they think they can do it on their own by doing good works, and hoping one day that the good will outweigh the bad. I forget what the Bible tells us, that it is not by our own efforts, no matter how hard we may try. It is only by trusting in the finished work of Christ on the cross on our behalf. And you know, none of those who finally perish will be able to say that salvation was not freely offered to them in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They will do so refusing the amazing gift of divine love and mercy. The third option is that you may, if you're taking notes, formally accept the gift. Just as one accepts a book that you never intend to read, or a piece of jewelry that you never intend to wear. I'm sure, like me, you have had white elephant opportunities, that gift exchange, and you got something that nobody else would steal from you. So you left with it, and you reluctantly need to formally take it, that jolly thing home. But you can keep it for next year and try again. How many practice the outward profession and formalism of Christianity? Instead of Christianity, they go through all the motions and rituals. Yet, their lives day by day are lived in such a way that it makes no difference whether Christ came or not. Matthew 15, 8 and 9 says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." They have a religion, but no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many today have Christmas, yes, but without Christ. And our culture is getting more and more like that every day. Then the fourth and final response is, if you're taking notes, you may wholeheartedly accept and receive this gift. If a gift is to be a gift at all, it must be received as such. As a thirsty person receives a glass of water, or a drowning person receives a lifeline. And God's gift in Jesus Christ is meant to be eagerly and gratefully received. Because in John 1:12, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. The wonder of the Gospels, that there is nothing complicated about receiving the gift of salvation. Even a child can understand that. And my wife BJ came to know the Lord at the age of 4, a genuine commitment to Jesus, because she knew she was a sinner and needed to be saved. It's as easy as the ABC. A, admit you are a sinner before God and recognize your inability to save yourself. For Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. B, believe that God loves you and sent his Son to die in your place. Personalize John 3:16, for God so loved Graham that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Graham believes on him, he should not perish but have eternal life. And C, call on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, you don't have to improve yourself before you can accept this gift. The Lord wants you to come just as you are and accept this gift. And dear friend, if you don't, you won't. But one thing is obviously true. Only those who have received this gift by repentance and faith can really give thanks for it. And if you have sincerely acknowledged your need of salvation, put your trust in that finished work of Christ, that you know your sins are forgiven, that you have the gift of eternal life, then you will experience the real joy of the season. No others can sing Christmas carols with real meaning and understanding, with loving gratitude to our Heavenly Father. It was on the 26th of May, 1956, that I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was brought up in a godly Christian home. I heard the gospel, was taken to Sunday school and to church. But when I was, and I'm going to give you a secret, 12 years old there, were, I really responded and accepted that gift for myself some 66 and nearly 66 and a half years ago by God's grace. Personally receiving the gift and knowing that it to be true. And indeed I do say thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And dear friend, you can do that today. If not, why not? You can do it right now as you lift your heart to the Lord. call upon his name and receive the gift he offers. Oh, let us, Christmas 2022, recapture some of the marvel and wonder of that infant child, remembering his life, his sacrificial death on the cross, his glorious resurrection, and the promise of him coming again. Truly, no gift is more needed by a dying world than the life-giving Savior. Neutral with Jesus, you cannot be. One day, you will be asking, what will he do with me? And I plead with you today that while you enjoy all the festivities with family and friends and open the gifts given to you, that you pause for a moment and contemplate the real reason for the season. Oh, that you and I may say with all our hearts and minds today, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, the greatest fact in history ever told. And I pray that you and your family will have a truly blessed Christmas. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your coming into this world and what it means. Please, Lord, will you open hearts of people today to see their need, and that you would again restore, Lord, this sin-sick world. And we commit it into your hands, giving you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.